Come on, everybody.
There we go. Eddie Cochran, one of the great early rock and rollers, passed away on this day. And we're Come On, Everybody, a great song for back in the day. Well, here we are, here on the Mark Steiner Show, and we are joined here in the studio by two of the people who are behind this Baltimore School for the Arts project, Citizen Stand, The Battle for Baltimore 1814. Nora Worthington is an instructor of costume design at Baltimore School for the Arts, and Kristen Schenning is education director of the Maryland Historical Society and has been involved with this project and for the past 5 years, and also works at Fort McHenry. Good to have you both in the studio.
Thank you.
And my dear friend and colleague, Carla Wills, is in the studio as well.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Carla. because she is a volunteer to do something off the cuff.
Drafted. More like it. But gladly.
And so to read one of the plays here in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about this project, because this is a pretty amazing project. This is a project that, from School for the Arts and their partners, Historical Society and the National Park Service, where three faculty members wrote plays based on students' research about the intense multiracial aspect in the history of our city in 1812.
Right. Well, this is the sixth year for our partnership with Maryland Historical Society, and about the third year with our partnership, including the National Park Service. So we're really happy to have those partners. And we're also sponsored by a grant from Wells Fargo. So all of those things come together for us to be able to really do some amazing work with the students. And the students do amazing work for us because they get a chance at the Maryland Historical Society to look at actual primary source documents and look at people from the past that really interest them and build characters around those ideas and situations that those characters might be found in. So this was particularly interesting for the War of 1812, since many of our students really didn't know very much about it. And certainly, I think our city doesn't know as much about it as we could, given that there's so many things that happened here. But because our acting ensemble is a very diverse acting ensemble, and the Baltimore population at the time was equally diverse, it's wonderful to root out those stories of everyday folks that haven't been told.
You were saying some interesting stuff inside the boardroom, which we use as a green room this morning for you all. A bit about this partnership and what this history means.
What the history means to Baltimore.
Yeah. And you were talking about how the power of seeing young people actually do this research and work.
Yeah.
And it becomes part of them and they can bring it out to the public.
It really is wonderful. The Maryland Historical Society has an incredible library collection, about 7 million pieces in our library collection. And the students actually, they come by 6 or 7 times during the fall semester, and they really get involved in these documents. We start kind of with a basic sort of history, but then they go in depth on a number of different topics that encompass what's going on during 1814. And what's really great about it is the students, they really internalize it and they start to see the connections to their own lives. And it's a process. It's always a process. And the beginning of the year, it's kind of this, well, we're just kind of reading this stuff. And then you start to get interested in it. By the end of the year, and the students have produced and performed these scenes, they're excited about the history. They've found people that they relate to. And they want other people to know about them. They want to teach about what they've learned. And they really use these plays as that tool to do that. And we take them out to the community, to other students their age. That's one of the great links that we see in this project, is that because we allow the students to do that primary source research, and they kind of reflect back to us what speaks to them. When these plays get put together, we tend to have these topics that do speak to a young audience, that speak to teenagers. And that's very, very strong. But they're also, I love to see the reactions of the audiences to these pieces, because Baltimore School for the Arts is a pre-professional program. These students are excellent actors and actresses.
And they really are. And we just saying we were hoping the students could be here today, but we realized as we booked the show, it's spring break, and they're scattered and doing their spring thing before they go into intense rehearsals next week. So they're not here in the studio, which is why Carla and I are going to substitute for students. And we're both going to go back to our sophomore years in high school. Sophomore theater in high school in a moment. So, but tell us about these plays were researched by the students. Mm-hmm. They had to do this historical research about what happened at that moment, looking at original documents and more, and then created these characters.
Correct.
And that the faculty then turned into plays. Is that how it works?
Right. Right. We have three playwrights, Paul Christensen, Natalie Pilcher, and myself.
All of you who are faculty at Baltimore School for the Arts.
Well, Natalie is not faculty, but...
She doesn't teach her anymore?
No, she doesn't.
At
but
all? Huh.
She teaches at St. Paul's School.
Okay.
But
that's how far
she's brought in as
a
guest artist, right. And we're very happy to have her. She's been with the project for several years and has written some wonderful, wonderful pieces for us. And the pieces are written very much with the acting ensemble in mind. And so that's one of the reasons why our department head, Donald Hicken, has really gotten behind the project. And also some of our faculty members who are directors, Tony Sandeas, Denise Diggs, and Richard Pilcher, direct the scenes. And I know this.
All fine actors and directors, the three of them.
Absolutely. Yep. And so they really shepherd the students through the process of creating an original script, what that means, rewrites. They also, one of the things that I know Denise is really passionate about, and I was hoping I could bring her in today, but she's away on spring break as well.
She left town as well?
She did.
Denise didn't come on my show? She left town?
No.
Fine. Wait till I see Denise.
But one of the things that Denise has always brought to the table is feeling that it's so important for the students to be able to be able to act in roles that they can relate to, and to have a part that is written for you is really essential. It's written for you, for your acting ability at the time. It's written with a background in what your family history might have been exposed to. You can bring elements of your past into your performance. And Denise really encourages that element as well.
So who directs which play?
Denise is directing the play Woman of All Work that we brought a snippet of for you.
That you wrote.
That I wrote, yes.
And that this character, Henrietta, was based on a real woman pulled out of the archives a student found, right?
In Woman of All Work is Elizabeth.
That's a different play, right?
That's a different play. Natalie's play is about several brother and sister combinations. That's directed by Richard Pilcher. And that is about loyalties tested. That's about a variety of people who are working on the defenses of Baltimore right there in 1814, and especially members of the African American community who are trying to make choices and really be agents in their future as they see the turmoil in the country. Woman of All Work, the play that I wrote that Denise directs, focuses on an African-American woman who owns her own laundry business, which was not uncommon at all in the time. And as the students looked at the advertisements in the newspaper, you could see advertisements for a woman of all work or a woman who would be doing a variety of things.
So this is a conversation in this particular play between a man who is enslaved and a woman who is free.
Yes, who are siblings.
Who are siblings.
Yes.
Who are at the embattlements.
Who are working at Fort McHenry.
Right.
So women could be hired actually by the army as laundresses. It was one of the few ways that they would be able to receive government money. And so there were laundresses at Fort McHenry who were in pay of the government.
Because Baltimore had a very interesting, strange dynamic in history when it comes to slavery, because there were so many free people in the city.
Absolutely.
And the same family going back and forth. And it was just a very – so that's why – I won't get into all this now. That's why John Brown, when he took over Harper's Ferry, he thought that he was going to win because, and it just failed at the last minute because there were hundreds of black folks in Baltimore ready to take a train to Harper's Ferry to fight with John Brown because of that dynamic in the city that took place in very few other places in Baltimore. Yeah. So Baltimore has a really interesting history.
Yeah, at this time period in 1814, you're as likely to meet a free African-American as an enslaved person if you're just walking down the street. It's a very diverse community in a lot of different ways.
So let's just try this.
Okay.
We're
going to
try this. You ready, Carla?
Ready as I'm going
to
be.
Remember, when you go to hear these plays, we'll tell you in a moment how to get to these plays and where to go to hear them. There'll be really great young actors doing this from School
That's
for the
right.
Arts.
That's right.
And not somebody like me.
Or me.
Attempting to do this. But this is a scene outside the Star Fort, Fort McHenry, late afternoon. There is a basket with ironing and an iron and a trivet, a table with a blanket, a bench and a stool. Elizabeth Armstrong, African-American in mid-30s, is finishing up laundry, folding clothes, and preparing to do some ironing. Her brother Hal enters. Shall we go?
Yeah.
You going home for some supper after you finish those shirts, Lizzie? Lizzie. Mr. Carson, let me go for the day. We finished up midsection of the wall. He said we start again tomorrow early. Lizzie, those guns they shoot off for practice, them dead in both your ears?
I don't answer to that slave name, Harold. How many times do I have to tell you my name is Elizabeth? I'm a proper businesswoman with a proper name.
Don't need to get all out of sorts with me, Ms. Armstrong. just because you're some free woman now.
Not just a free woman. A free woman who runs her own business.
Fair enough, fair enough. I'm just saying that everyone gets to pick what they're called by.
Maybe not what they're called by, but you can know your own name.
Ain't no big thing to me, sissy. Or am I not allowed to call you that neither?
Maybe Mrs. Armstrong in the Baltimore directory, but I'll always be your big sister, Hal.
That's Mr. Something Something Hal, whatever the third to you, Miss Armstrong.
Oh, so that's how it is, hmm? But seriously, Hal, you should think of making something of yourself. Why don't you go down to the harbor and try to get on one of them ships? Black men come back from their time at sea doing real well. They get to see the whole world that way.
That story again? Don't you see as how Master would allow it?
He may rent you out to sea as well as he rents you out to the army. We're good on the fort here. Money's money.
You trying to get rid of me?
Of course not. Just want something better for you, that's all. No sin in that, is there?
I just as soon stay here. Don't think I'd make a good sailor anyways. I might get seasick. I don't know what all those captain's bells and whistles mean. I wouldn't know if I was coming or going.
You'd learn. You think I was born knowing how to press shirts? I used to help the housekeeper back at the Randolph house. Remember old Suki? I was just a little thing those days, but I kept after her. Made a study of it. Show someone you want to learn, they'll want to teach, and that's a fact.
Not everybody wants to work as hard as you. Some of us are just doing the best we can to get along.
Very good.
Yep. And that's just the beginning of this play. There's much more to it. Thank you, Madam Wills.
Thank you.
That was fun. Carla Wills.
Thank you.
Little radio theater first thing in the morning.
That's right.
So these plays that are coming out, they really do kind of show this interaction between people of different cultures in ways the students, through their research, are interpreting, because they gave you the research to write the plays, how they thought they might react to one another.
That's right. So in one of the scripts, the one that Natalie worked on, Loyalties Tested, I think that's one of our best examples this year. One of our researchers found a runaway slave ad for a young woman who's said, we're looking for Marionetta, but she calls herself Henrietta. And it had several details about this young runaway woman, that she was about 14 years old, and my student's about 14, 15 years old. This runaway ad really spoke to her. She could see herself in that situation. She could see herself needing to move beyond a difficult environment, a difficult place. And she saw this person who took control of her life and made a choice. And then my student doesn't know how the story ends, so she has to imagine it. And she imagines that young woman, Henrietta, because that's important, what her name is. It mattered to her. It mattered to the enslaved woman, and it mattered to my student. And she takes that detail, and she creates a world based on other research of the time, understanding where that person might go. Like Frederick Douglass, she might choose to go to Baltimore because of the intermingling of the free and enslaved population here. She might be able to hide here. She might be able to find friends here who will help her. And in the context of the War of 1812, she might be able to convince her brother, which is what happens in Natalie's scene. She might be able to convince her enslaved brother to go join the actual British side. Because the British are taking people.
And offering freedom.
Right. Her brother may be able to fight with the colonial marines against the Americans.
That's the power of just that short message, understanding that history is something that people are so separate from. And I think that you bring to light. That's why this whole project with the School for the Arts over the years, over all the years I've been part of the School for the Arts when I taught there years back. This whole museum theater, working with, whether it was City Life Museums before and now the Historical Society, working with kind of bringing history to life and through the students' eyes, these 20th and 21st century students kind of revealing this history, I think is a very powerful medium to use.
But giving voices to historical people who don't necessarily have much attention paid to them.
Right.
These normal people, if you open up a city directory, the laundresses and the shopkeepers and people who don't necessarily make the history books in a big way, through these plays speak very, very powerfully across the years.
And I think that this is the power of these pieces. I've seen these pieces over the years. I look forward to seeing this one as well. I think this is going to be really wonderful. How many performances are you going to have?
Well, we have three performances that are probably most accessible to the public. Two of them are at Fort McHenry, and they'll be performed outside, weather permitting, or inside if needed. One is Friday, April 25th at 10 a.m. One is Saturday, April 26th at 2 p.m. And then there's a culminating performance on Friday, May 2nd at 6 p.m. at the Maryland Historical Society as well.
And these are all free programs. So anyone who wants to come down
to
either...
You have to register first, just kind of walk in the door.
Just come.
That's right. So you can come down to Fort McHenry or come down to the Maryland Historical Society, depending which one fits your schedule best. But I encourage everyone out there to come and see, you know, start the 1812, 1814 Battle of Baltimore commemoration off on a really thoughtful and historical note.
I'm really happy you're doing this in this way because I think that, you know, that I really would encourage people to come to this. And we'll put this on our website and announce one more time here before we have to run in just a couple minutes to our next segment. But the students of the School for the Arts are really highly trained young actors. We're talking about a 10th grade ensemble, incredible work, and interpreting a history we don't know because as we approach 1814, all we think about is the Star Spangled Banner. And the heart of our history is so much deeper than that. And that's what I think is so beautiful about these kids and this work is they've dug into this history and pulled it out and marrying the best of kind of academic research with theater and putting it together, the arts and academia kind of married in this thing, which I think is just that's what our school should be. You know, this is a lovely piece, important piece of work you all are doing.
Well, when the arts and the academic sides come together, they really enrich each other so much, so much.
So I just want to thank you both for the work you're doing.
Thank you.
With our
thank
kids.
You.
And so those dates again, this April the 25th.
Friday, April 25th, 10 a.m. at Fort McHenry. Saturday, April 26th, 2 p.m. at Fort McHenry. And Friday, May 2nd, 6 p.m., the Maryland Historical Society. The performances are about an hour long, and there's room for talk back at the end. We welcome people's questions, and the researchers will be there to also share with you their research.
So I appreciate you both and the work you're doing, and I encourage you to go there, and it'll be on our website to find out how to go there and how to see these young people do their work and learn some history and see the kind of power of our young people in the city in a very positive light. And it's good to see you both, and thank you both for being here.
Great. Thank you. Have a good day.
And we here have been joined during the course of this conversation by Nora Worthington from Bolt School for the Arts, where she's a costume designer. She teaches costume design, And Kristen Schenning, Education Director of the Maryland Historical Society, have been in the studio with us. And, of course, Carla Wills winging it with me here as we read a short piece of one of these plays to give you a sense of the history that came to life. Thank you all so much. We're going to go to break here with going out with Wailing Waters' song, Simmer Down, a reggae drummer and percussion great man, Carlton Barrett of the Wailers, was shot and killed on this day in 1987 outside his home in Kingston, Jamaica. Simmer Down, another great song by this incredible human being who left us much too early. And when we come back, we are going to be joined by Gerald Grimes as we begin our conversation around the controversy between the city and Build over money and where it goes for those coming out of prison. And we'll be talking to him first, Joel Grimes, who works with our city government, and then we'll be talking to folks from Build. So stay with us. We'll be right back.